Today's reading comes from 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 16, on page 1186 in the Church Bibles. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though, as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people, same things those churches suffered, from the Jews who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to everyone in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last.
Well, welcome. Well, hello. If you were sleeping, you're not sleeping anymore. My name is Jonathan. I'm one of the pastors here. Lovely to see you. We are in our second week in Letter of 1 Thessalonians. So we're going to pray. And then we're going to have a look at what God is going to say to us as a church this morning. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we can often wonder what we've heard about Jesus is really true. And as we read your word this morning, please would you speak to us and reassure us that we have heard what is the real gospel. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There are times when it's just really costly to be a Christian. Aren't there? There are times when it costs us to be a Christian. Perhaps you go into school and you've told people, your school friends, that you know and love the Lord Jesus. And so they call you names. So the names they used to call people back in my day were Bible Basher or Here Comes the God Squad. I don't quite know what they call in schools today. Maybe that's you. Maybe you go into school, that's what you hear. Maybe you're a Christian, but you're close family members aren't Christians, and that just creates some family tension because you trust in Jesus, but those people who are closest to you relationally don't. Or perhaps you look at the lives of your friends who wouldn't call themselves Christians, and their lifestyle looks really fun, and you think to yourself, oh, I really wish I could live like that, but I know the Lord Jesus tells me not to live like that. Being a Christian can be costly, can't it? Now, many Christians are happy to pay that cost because the good news of the Bible says there is nothing better than knowing Jesus, having our sins forgiven, being fully in the right with God, and having a place in heaven. That's That's amazing, isn't it? But how do we know the good news we've been told about Jesus is true? What if someone got it wrong by mistake? What if someone changed it on purpose? What if someone only told us half the story about Jesus? Well, if we discovered that the good news about Jesus wasn't the real message, wasn't the real gospel, then actually it wouldn't be worth paying the cost of being a Christian, would it? If we discovered that. And our very first readers of the letter of 1 Thessalonians were in that situation. So the Apostle Paul had visited the Greek city of Thessalonica and had told the people the good news of Jesus. And a number of people had heard Paul and they believed Paul and they put their trust in Jesus. But Paul had only been in the city of Thessalonica for maybe 2-3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks. And there was a riot and he had to get out of town really quickly. And after Paul had left Thessalonica, there were people around the church, people around people who were Christians, and they were saying, they were sort of giving fake news to the Christians. They were saying, "Oh, guys, you're so foolish. Paul was just manipulating you. All he was after was your money and your respect. He was tricking you into following him. And once he got found out, he scarpered. He ran away. Once everyone discovered he was a fraud, he went up to the hills. You haven't heard from him since. You haven't seen him since." And that was a serious accusation. And let me explain to you why that was a serious accusation by an illustration. So I'd like everyone to stand up. And everyone means everyone. Unless you can't say, yeah. Okay, imagine you are Harry Potter. Okay, you're Harry Potter. And so you've got lightning scar on your forehead, your parents have been killed, you've been to Hogwarts. Okay, as Harry Potter, stay standing if you would trust what this person told you. If you would trust what this person, stay standing. If you would trust what this person told you. Oh. Any Draco Malfoy fans? No, of course you wouldn't trust him. Draco Malfoy is your arch enemy in Slytherin. He's really dodgy. You wouldn't trust what this person would tell you. Okay, stand up again, please. Okay. I'd like you to stay standing if you would trust what the next person told you. Voldemort. Oh, everyone's now down. Yeah, there's a bit of hesitation with Malfoy. There's one or two standing up still. No, great, you have read Harry Potter. Yeah, of course you wouldn't trust what Voldemort told you because he tried to kill you as a baby and he failed. Okay, everyone stand up for the third and final time. I'd like you to stay standing if you would trust what the next person would say to you. Hermione Granger. If you're Harry Potter and Hermione Granger told you something, would you trust them? Okay, brilliant. Yeah, great. Thank you. Please take a seat. Of course you trust her. She demonstrated her love and care for you. She is on your side. Her character impacts on what you believe, what she says. And so if you distrust someone's character, then you will not trust what they tell you. That's the point. And if the Thessalonian Christians began to believe that Paul's character was bad, that he was out to trick them, then they would stop believing his message. And that was serious, because Paul's message was the most important message you would ever, ever hear. Because Paul's message was how human beings can come into a relationship with God, not as enemies, but as friends. Just to explain that a little bit more, just imagine that this hand represents a human being, and God is up there. Now, this book represents all the time we have disobeyed God, and the Bible calls that disobedience sin, and it cuts us off from a relationship with God, because sin isn't like going above the speed limit. No one really gets hurt if you do that. But instead, sin is rebellion against God, and God is personally offended. And so that means that human beings are cut off from God by our sin. We're not automatically friends with God. We're actually enemies of God. But God stepped into history by becoming a human being. And just imagine, this hand represents Jesus. And for 33 years, Jesus lived a perfect life. He never lied, rather, he always told the truth. He never looked at someone lustfully. Rather, he kept his gaze pure. He never disobeyed Mary and Joseph. Instead, he always honored his parents. What a man Jesus was. And when someone becomes a follower of Jesus, a swap happens. And God the Father swaps all our sin onto Jesus on the cross, and Jesus was punished for it. So God's anger against sin was diverted from us, and it falls on Jesus. And Jesus takes all the punishments that we deserve on the cross. But whenever a swap happens, we lose something, but we also gain something, don't we? So this hand represents Jesus, and this book represents his perfect life lived here on earth. And when someone becomes a follower of Jesus, Jesus swaps our sin for his perfect life. And that is an awful swap for Jesus, isn't it? But it's an unbelievably good swap for us. So all of Jesus' good deeds become our good deeds. And so when God looks at us, what he sees is the life, the perfect life of the Lord Jesus. I wonder if you could put into words how much God the Father loves and accepts Jesus, his only son. How would you describe that? Well, I think God the Father loves Jesus with the heat and intensity of a thousand suns. When Jesus walks into the heavenly throne room, God the Father's heart leaps with delight. In God the Father's eyes, Jesus is always welcome. And the amazing news is that is how God the Father thinks about every Christian and feels and reacts to them. Can you actually believe that? In the same way as God thinks about the Lord Jesus, if you are trusting in Jesus today, he thinks about that about you. And I guess the question is, why? Well, because you have been given Jesus' righteous life, all of his good deeds. And so we are welcome in heaven as the Lord Jesus is welcome in heaven. We are as loved as the Lord Jesus loved. We are accepted as much as the Lord Jesus accepted. And that is a high honor, isn't it? You can't get any more accepted or loved than Jesus. And that's why the rumors about Paul's character are so serious. Because that news is the biggest, best news that can be offered and heard. Can I trust Paul is really key, not only for the Thessalonians back then, but also for us today. So what Paul does in verses 1 to 12, he seeks to persuade the Thessalonians that he wasn't trying to trick them out of money. He wasn't trying to trick them out of respect to gain a bigger following. And he gives three reasons. So reason number one, why to trust Paul. It was costly for Paul to share the real gospel. So wherever Paul went and he told the gospel about Jesus, it cost him. Have a look down at verse 2. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know. So just before Paul arrived in the city of Thessalonica, he told the gospel to the people of Philippi. But the people of Philippi didn't like the message. They accused Paul of doing something illegal, and instead of going to the courts and a judge, they actually took Paul into the center of the city, stripped him naked, and beat him with rods. How unfair is that? That's really unfair, isn't it? And news traveled fast. This news hit the headlines in Thessalonica. And the Thessalonians heard about it. But they knew Paul had been beaten up for telling the gospel. But you know what? That wasn't an isolated incident. A similar thing happened when Paul told people about Jesus in Thessalonica. Have a look at how verse 2 ends. But with the help of our God, we dare to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. And so when Paul arrived in Thessalonica and told people about Jesus, the city rioted and he had to escape to save himself. So wherever Paul shared the good news of Jesus, it cost him. It was a costly thing to do for him. So here's what Paul's saying. He's saying, look, I know I'm not with you physically, but I'm hearing that people saying I only preach the gospel for what I get out of it. But look at those old newspapers. Look at those old headlines. When I preached the gospel, I didn't gain. The only thing I gained was a bloody nose, a black eye, and a fat lip. That's what I gained for telling the gospel. And this is not the behavior of the man who was in it for what he could get out of it. And surely that would have reassured the Thessalonian Christians. that Paul was the real deal, that the message that he was saying was the real gospel. Reason number two to trust Paul. Paul was like a nursing mum to the Thessalonians. And so what Paul tries to continue to persuade the Thessalonians that they heard the real gospel. And he does so by asking them to think back when they were physically present with him. Have a look at verses 7 and 8. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And Paul says that he cared for the Thessalonians in the same way as a nursing mother cares for a baby or an infant. And that's a big claim, isn't it? Children, make sure you listen to this carefully, because whether you get dinner later on is going to depend on this. Hands up, children, if you think your mum's amazing. Well done. Yeah, good, good. Some half hands up. So my mum was amazing. They care for us when we're down and tired. They look after us. When we trip over and fall and graze our knee, they look after us and they kiss things better. Now, when our mums tell us things about life, do we trust them? Well, of course we trust them. We trust them because they love us and they care for us. And one of the big ways a nursing mother loves and cares for a small baby or an infant is that she gives it milk. And that's the image that Paul uses here. People were accusing Paul of milking the Thessalonians for all the money and all the respect that he could get. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Instead, Paul was actually the one giving the milk to the Thessalonians, the spiritual milk of God's words. And if Paul was like a loving and caring and nursing mum, and they remembered that, then surely they would trust what he told them. Reason three to trust Paul. Paul was like an encouraging dad, not to be done dads get mentioned too. And Paul moves on to using another picture from the family. And he says that he was physically with the Thessalonians. He was like an encouraging dad. Verse 11, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Children, hands up if you've seen The Lion King at the cinema. I've seen it. Anyone seen The Lion King? The Lion King is amazing. So I went to see it this week. So basically Simba's dad is Mufasa. And Mufasa is an awesome dad, isn't he? And if you see the movie, if not, ask your parents to take you to it. You could say, actually, I want to understand the sermon better, so take me to The Lion King. You could do that. He was always encouraging and comforting Simba to live a life worthy of being the future Lion King. And if I was Simba, I would love a dad like Mufasa. And if he told me something, I'd believe him, because he's my dad, and he was always encouraging me and comforting me and urging me to live a life that to be the future Lion King. And Paul is saying that he's a bit like Mufasa. He's like a dad who encouraged the Thessalonians. How could the Thessalonians ever doubt that Paul's message was real when he was the best dad ever, encouraging, comforting, and urging people on? We're going to press pause here and then sing a song. When we come back, we're going to see the three lessons that God wants us to teach us from this passage. So I'm going to hand over to the band, and the band's going to lead us in song. I can't remember which song it is, but I'm sure it'll come up on the screen. Please take a seat. Right, we're back. We're going to think about three things God wants us to learn from this passage. Three lessons that as Christians and those looking to the Christian faith can learn from this passage. Well, the first lesson is we can trust we've heard the real gospel from Paul. Trust that we've heard the real gospel from Paul. Paul wrote about 30%, almost 30% of the New Testament. That's a lot of the New Testament, isn't it? And many of the things we say or think or do as Christians is based on Paul's words. And Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians of his character. He suffered for telling people about Jesus. He was like a nursing mum to the people he was telling about Jesus. He was like an encouraging dad to the people he was telling about Jesus. And we're warm to that character, aren't we? We think that that is an amazing character, and we should trust what he says because of his character, that attractive character. How could we doubt someone who treats us like a mum, like a nursing mum, and treats us like an encouraging father? In fact, we're attracted to Paul's character because it's also the character of the Lord Jesus, supremely. And if that is what Paul was like, then we can trust that he has told us the real gospel. Now, you might be thinking, well, you know, we've only got Paul's word for what he was like, and that's a fair comment. But if you read the narrative in Acts written by someone totally different, a guy called Luke, that backs up the character of Paul, that he treated people like a nursing mother and treated people like an encouraging father. And so, children, can I let you into a secret? Sometimes it is hard for adults who are Christians to trust Paul, even Christians to trust Paul. And the reason for that is because sometimes Paul says things that we don't like or we find hard to understand. And what Paul is trying to do is he's trying to encourage us to trust him, even when he says hard things. Children, I'm sure there are times that when your parents tell you things you don't like or don't understand, I'm sure that's the case, isn't it? You know, tidy your room, no more sweets, turn off the iPad, do your homework. And you think to yourself, oh, I don't like that. Oh, you know, I don't really understand why they want me to do that. You know, why can't I not eat all that block of chocolate all in one go? But you trust them because you know that they love you. They are caring. They are a nursing mother and an encouraging father to you. And so the adults in your family, if they're Christians, need to learn to trust Paul like you trust them. And maybe this week, children, you can be examples of that trust so that you encourage the adults to trust Paul in what he says. Lesson two, character matters as we teach and share the real gospel. Character matters as we teach and share the real gospel. And many of us here at church teach the Bible, don't we? So I teach the Bible. You might be a home group leader or part of the Sunday school team or the mums group or whatever. And if that's you, if you are someone who teaches other people the Bible, then your character matters. And do you realize that? If you are a mum and a dad, you have the prime responsibility of telling your children about Jesus. But that's not just the prime responsibility. Your character matters as you tell them about Jesus. You know, are you teaching the Bible for what you can get out of it? Position, power, popularity? Or are you teaching people the Bible for what you can put in? Are you like a nursing mother who cares and loves for those who you teach the Bible to? Instead of milking others for what you can get, are you providing spiritual milk for them? Are you like an encouraging father who encourages and comforts and urges people on to live a life that is worthy of the Lord Jesus? You know what? We might not all be Bible teachers, but we are all and can be Bible sharers. We can all share the good news of Jesus with our friends at school, our family, our neighbours, our work colleagues. And as we do this, then we need to remember that our character matters. We need to love and care for the people we share the gospel with and not try and take things from them, but to give things to them. We need to demonstrate that love and care. So it's not just enough to tell people about Jesus. Your character matters. Lesson three. Look at the character of Christians who share the real gospel with you. And so if you're looking into Christianity here this morning, thank you for being here. It's really great that you're here. I'm willing to bet that somewhere in your life you've got a Christian friend who is telling you about Jesus. And as you think through and weigh up the claims of Jesus, can I encourage you not only to listen to what your Christian friend has to say about Jesus when they talk to you about him, but look at their character. In effect, it's like the second point, but for people who aren't Christians. Do they love you? Do they care for you? Does it cost them as they tell you and others about Jesus? And if the answer to those questions is yes, then what do you make of that? What do you make of it? Could it be that there is something in what they are telling you about Jesus, the fact that they love you and care for you as they tell you about Christ? So if you're a Christian, I hope you have a renewed confidence that you have heard the real gospel. And that's because of Paul's character. So trust it and keep on trusting it. And we're all Bible teachers or Bible sharers. And this passage reminds us that our character matters. And if you're like me, then you know that we fall far short of that. And so we're going to pray together that our Heavenly Father would forgive us and then change us. Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can trust that Paul has told us the real gospel. And we can do that because we see his character of a nursing mum and an encouraging dad. Please would this take away our doubts if we do have doubts about what Paul tells us. Help us to trust your gospel message even more. But we're sorry for the times our character doesn't match the character of Paul, the character of the Lord Jesus. And sometimes we're not prepared to suffer to tell people the gospel. Sometimes we're not like a nursing mum or an encouraging dad. Please forgive us for our failures, but also please change us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.